Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
And welcome back to Onceable. We're here with episode 106 to talk about Once Upon a Time, season 6, episode 13, Ill Boding Patterns. I'm Brittany, and tonight I'm joined by Caitlin, Karen, and Kristen. How's everybody doing?
We're not even going to parse words here.
Yeah,
these people know us by now, right?
they know what they're in for, and we have tried to calm down Karen, but no promises once we get this baby rolling. So if you would like to reach out to us at all, you can catch us on Twitter at Onceable or comment on this post on hypeable.com. I don't even know why we're going to bother with a thumbs up, thumbs down, but let's do it anyway. Rapid fire. No explanation. Just thumbs up, thumbs down. Caitlin.
Thumbs down.
Karen.
Thumbs down.
Kristen.
Two thumbs down.
Brittany. Thumbs down. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, let's...
All the thumbs down.
All the thumbs down.
Yep.
We'll move on to another unrelated... section of the podcast, which is our favorite quotes, and these will sort of tease out some of the more positive moments, which were few and far between for this episode, Ill Boding Patterns. And let's kick it off with Caitlin.
So mine was when Archie finds Killian at the diner and he's drinking, as pirates do, and he says to Archie, called your office. You didn't have an opening. The bottle did.
Amazing. And Karen, how about you?
You know what? Honestly, I don't even remember the setup to this quote. I just really liked the quote on its own. But it was the same scene. He was talking to Archie, and they were mentioning how, like, he's trying to do the good thing, and he's trying to change and that sort of thing. Do you guys remember what Archie actually said to him beforehand?
I think it was something along the lines of Hook was saying, I want to tell her, like, he was saying like how he could take a secret to his grave, and Archie's like, well, why don't you? And he's like, well, because yes. I find myself wanting to tell her.
Yeah. And so he just goes, because it seems that I am broken. And I just, like, on the one hand, it's funny, but on the other hand, like, it is a little sad that he feels that way, but mostly I picked it for the laughs.
Yeah.
And also that he thinks to tell the truth makes him broken.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and Kristen, what was yours?
Mine was from Zelina, Queen of Sass this week, who is the one bright spot in this episode, which is saying a lot. And she said, no, I'm here to return Queen Cobra before the Charmings realize she's missing. Just Queen Cobra made me giggle.
Queen Cobra was great.
I like it.
And mine was from Robin, because I thought it was a great turning point in what we're kind of expecting of Robin's character now that he's in Storybrooke and trying to adjust, but now he's kind of over the adjustment period and realizes that he wants out. And he says to Regina at the town line, I can't live up to the legacy of a man who died for you, which, you know, he set a pretty high bar for himself when he was around. So It makes sense that he is trying to walk in the shadow of this other man and constantly making someone upset with your physical appearance because you look like the love of someone's life who died. All right. We will begin our discussion of this episode, and let's talk about anything but what the episode was about first. because I feel like we're going to get derailed. And I want to go back to Kristen first, because I think that we haven't seen Zelina yet this year, so let's talk about her.
Yeah, so subplots for the win this week. And Zelina, while, you know, we don't love her and we have a lot of issues with her, she definitely was one of the least problematic parts of this episode. And she just was actually, like, entertaining compared to all of the rumpleness going on. So I actually really appreciated Zelina this week. In addition to her always, like, she always has some sort of, you know, snappy quip. And in an episode where Regina didn't really give us much to be lighthearted about, and, you know, usually she's got a snappy comeback, and we didn't really get much from Hook that was all that funny or cute. Zelina at least, like, brought some levity to an episode that will definitely be in my least favorite of all time.
Yeah, I think Zelina, we haven't seen her in quite some time, and I really liked watching her and Robin interact, because whereas when you're watching Regina and Robin interact with Zelina, she has zero attachment to this new Robin. She doesn't feel anything except a little bit of fear, because she thinks that he's going to come after his child, which I guess it really isn't his child. I don't know what would happen if you did a DNA test with an alternate universe persona, but she's only, that's the only real emotion she has towards this Robin, is just, oh, don't take my kid. But other than that, I'm willing to work with you. And she, you know, she still kind of goes out against her sister. Nothing's really changed. And I'm glad that they weren't trying to make her a totally different character, because we really haven't seen her enough to give her any reason to be different. I didn't mind her. She was a little funny, a little quippy. I like when she showed up with her luggage at the town line and she was going to take the Evil Queen with her, which would have solved a lot of problems, I think.
You know, at least she's trying to help.
Yeah. And they reminded us that the Cobra does exist. So that was a benefit of that interaction. What did Karen and Caitlin think of Zelina this week?
Pretty much the same. She was very surprisingly unproblematic. At this point, like, honestly, I hate Rumpel so much that Zelina, in comparison, doesn't really bother me anymore. And, like, maybe that's a bad thing. And I'm totally fine accepting that. But I've talked about before about how I don't like what she did and how Little Robin came about and all of that. But since then, Zelina's been trying to do better. And believe it or not, I kind of really liked her interaction with Regina at the end, when Regina's like, no, this is on me. And Zelina's just like, well, okay, we can go with that. That's totally fine with me. That usually doesn't happen. So yeah. And I think Zelina doesn't really give them reason to give her benefit of the doubt a lot of the time. She has done some pretty crappy things in the past, but I think lately she's been doing better. She could probably do even better than that, but, you know, it is what it is. I like that she's coming to Regina and she's trying to keep doing the right thing, however hard that may be for her.
Yeah, I was neutral on Zelina this week, which for me is like shouting positivity from the rooftops when it comes to that character. But like, I found myself not blaming her for wanting to get out and just be on her own with her daughter. Like, she's really in a place where it's going to probably be a toxic space to raise her child. So I have a feeling it would probably be better for her child to be raised outside of Storybrooke. So I honestly don't blame her for wanting to do what she did. So I did not mind her, which is very unusual for me.
Yeah, and that's a good point. She really has nothing going for her in Storybrooke. And I think we've all expressed that feeling in past episodes where it's like, well, what would, they don't know what to do with her. So it would make sense that she would want to leave, because she's probably, as a character, also feeling that way. Like, what are they doing with me? Like, what is my purpose here? All I do is go out and walk around with my daughter and come back with her in a blanket, like the same pink blanket. So I can't imagine what her day-to-day life is like. She's probably just sitting in that farmhouse all day, because no one likes her in town. And no one wants to see her. And if she's there, they think she's trying to do something. So it's not even like she can just go hang out at Granny's or anything. So she's living a very isolated life, and just makes sense that she would want to leave and head off to New York and enjoy a fabulous life. Let's move into Robin and Regina, because I really liked that Regina was accepting of the fact that she should work to help Robin get out of Storybrooke, and that she's not trying so hard to hold on to him because she realizes that she's making things worse for him and for herself. It's a fool's errand, this task of trying to get Robin reformed into the Robin that he was. And Robin feels it. Regina feels it. Everyone is a little on edge about it. And like Snow was telling her in last week's episode, you have to realize it's not him. Like it's hard because he looks exactly like Robin. It's just not the same person who was here with you before. And you're only going to be setting yourself up for disappointment. So I was just kind of curious, like, do you guys think this is sort of the end of the road with Robin? And I know Kristen and I in the premiere episode were toying with the idea that, you know, Robin and the Evil Queen, that would be the end of the two of them being here. And now we have this promo for next week where it's the final showdown with the Evil Queen. So while I completely disregarded that theory during last week's discussion, it came back into my mind immediately. So how are you guys feeling about this relationship, and what do you think is going to be the end result?
To be perfectly honest, I hate it. And I'm trying to be objective because, yes, I really did hate this episode, and I'm trying to separate me just overall hating this episode from this particular plot line, but I really don't like where they're going with Robin. I understand that he is a different person. I don't know. It's a fine line because on the one hand, I kind of do feel like they're crapping on the original Robin's legacy by introducing this other Robin who is completely different. And then I'm kind of trying to see it from Regina's point of view too, where it's like, okay, he is a different Robin. He is a different person. You have to treat him differently. But it was a big deal when that actor left the show and all this stuff that kind of came out about it afterward and the problems that might have been going on behind the scenes. And they're introducing this character who's not necessarily the best guy in the world. And it kind of rubs me the wrong way. And maybe I shouldn't really be comparing him to the original Robin. I get that. But again, like, I don't know, kind of can't help it. And I'm hoping that he has more of a purpose. It seems like right now his purpose is perhaps to allow Regina to move on, which I'm kind of into. It would have been really cool if they could have redeemed this storyline and redeemed her love life, which has been pretty terrible up until this point. But if this allows her to move on, then like, yes, definitely for it. But then like, where does he go from here? Is he gonna continue to be kind of shady, or is he going to redeem himself in another way and be able to move on with his own life and maybe lead a better life? Like, that would be kind of nice.
I kind of agree with Karen. I see his purpose being mostly to help Regina move on, but it seems so unnecessary for him to be part of that story. Like, how does she move on with someone who looks exactly like Robin, staring her in the face and being the polar opposite of everything that the man she loved stood for? It just seems like a slap in the face, and seems more like a reason to slap people in the face who were upset about the actor leaving the show than
yes,
the story itself. So honestly, I think it would have been better to deal with Regina moving on from that relationship completely without bringing that character in. So, I mean, I'm all for like her having to move on, but I think this was a very poor way to do it.
Okay. I have a fear. And my fear is that somehow he's going to hit it off with the Evil Queen and she's going to get a happy ending before Regina does.
Gross.
Ugh, that hurts.
Like, as we were watching this final scene, I couldn't help but wonder if somehow the show is going to prove that he's truly not Robin, in that he like sees things from the Queen's point of view, and as she starts showing him, you know, Storybrooke, he likes what he sees, and the two of them find a way to leave, or like they have happiness, and it just destroys Regina. Like, I could see it happening. I don't want it to happen.
Did you say the Evil Queen or did you say Zelina?
I meant the Evil Queen. Did I say Zelina?
I don't know, because I thought you said Zelina and I was like, gross. But then I realized you said the Evil Queen and I'm like, that's even grosser.
Right? Yeah. I meant the Evil Queen. If I said Zelina, I meant the Evil Queen. Just seeing them in this moment and thinking about what we know about this Robin and how he is so very not the Robin we've met before. And he doesn't seem to be making the same decisions that we would, you know, it's not like he's just a different version and it's taking him a lot longer to get to that Robin. Like, this is a different guy. And that's what he's been trying to get across to Regina. And like, what if this incarnation of Robin likes what the Evil Queen has to offer and chooses that over being a good person like the other one did? And so I just have this fear that somehow we're going to see him team up with the Evil Queen, and whether they end up vanquished or not, because I'm sure the show will not allow the Evil Queen to win, I can see her having happiness with him and us still not see Regina happy, and that will make me crazy.
Oh.
Yeah, that one, I don't think that would make any of us happy, but I think it's a good point that they could be laying the groundwork for that to potentially happen. I don't know if the show could go that dark, although with these characters in particular, I think they've lost all hope with some other characters, but I don't know if they could do that to Regina. I hope that they can't do that to Regina, because to bring back Sean McGuire for however long we have him, you know, it's to make that his purpose, I think would just be an insult to his former character, like Karen was saying, and just not great for anyone, including fans of the show. It's just not, that would be a horrible, horrible storyline, but it's all possible. I mean, anything is possible on this show. I will say, while Karen, I know you didn't like him at all and the way he was acting and stuff, I did kind of enjoy watching Sean McGuire be like that person in Zelina's kitchen. That scene was just so well done. And I don't like what the character is doing, but I just really had a good time watching that particular scene. I'll give Sean a little bit of credit there. He pulled that off very well, but he's also pulling off the unlikability, which is hard to watch as a fan of Robin's. And obviously it's putting the audience in the same spot as Regina. You're watching this person who is not the person that you like. That's a smart storytelling move, but hopefully be as far as they go with it, because Kristen's theory has me all messed up now.
Sorry, I told you it was a fear. I don't like it either.
Well, continuing on some fears of relationships going south, we should move on to Caitlin's the brightest moment in the dark, dark episode, which I will let her introduce.
Yes. So my moment is Captain Swan, obviously. So we get Killian basically working up the courage to tell Emma the truth about what he discovered in the pages in the last episode. And he goes home and has every intention of telling her. And she comes down the stairs and reveals that she found the ring and basically forces him into a position where he has to propose to her on the spot. Nothing else was really going to work in that spot. So he proposes and she accepts, and it seems all sweet, except that, hey, there's this big secret hanging between them. And the sad thing is he had every intention of telling her in that moment. And then, of course, because we can't have nice things, their engagement is tainted in a sense because there's the secret between them. I was a bit saddened because I love them as a couple, and I just sort of hate seeing how we're just getting one obstacle after another thrown in the way of like what has seems like it should be fairly smooth sailing, no pun intended, for them, because we've seen how much Killian has grown as a person, but just one thing after another. So now they are engaged, but Killian still has a secret.
He's trying to be happy in that moment. And like, he's so happy and he's smiling. And then his face just has to drop because of everything else that the show throws in their way.
The first thing that I said, I looked at Karen and I said, Emma, when you find the ring, you don't take it out and come confront them and like basically steal their thunder. You see the ring, you say, oh my God, he's going to propose, and you freak out about it, but let the man have his moment. Clearly he's thinking about it. Clearly she found it, grabs it, comes down, and you know, like, she didn't give him time to, you know, propose on his own. Like, clearly this is something he's been thinking about if he has bought the ring and has it. Like, come on. Let the man have his moment. So it broke my heart that she kind of, you know, she didn't know it, but she pushed him to do something he wasn't quite ready for because she was a little impulsive and found it and decided to just kind of confront him about it immediately. It just hurts. Just hurts.
Yeah, that was not great. I was kind of pissed at Emma in that moment as well. I was like, what are you doing? Also, leave it in the box. Like, I would have dropped that walking down the stairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was anticlimactic, I feel like. Like, I'm glad it happened, but, you know, I feel like Hook could have maybe either in that moment gotten through that confession and, like, you know, you have a scene that you can cut to where they have that moment, they share that moment, and he tells her and she's unsure. And then maybe like while Hook is asleep or something, she goes to the spot where she knows the ring is and like thinks about it, you know? So like she is weighing knowing the truth and knowing what is coming. I think that probably could have been a better option than what we got, which whatever, he put a ring on it. Good job. I just wish I was more excited because I am excited about it, but it was like Kristen was saying, it's kind of like let the air out of the moment.
I know. It reminds me of there was an engagement on The Flash that was basically completely derailed because of secrets. So I'm like, this keeps happening on all the shows that I watch. Stop that.
Let me have my happiness. All right. God. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Do we have to?
Well, let me intro this. I was telling Caitlin about this earlier, but I went to go see Trainspotting this weekend, and big moment for me. Very excited. Fantastic movie. Little bit of a spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Trainspotting 2, don't listen to the next minute of this episode. But in that movie, Robert Carlyle's character gets out of prison after 20 years. Goes home, tries to like rope his now grown son into the family business of like burglary so he can get some cash, and, you know, takes him out and they rob a joint and all this stuff happens. And his son finally like confronts him and is like, listen, I don't want to do this and you're a horrible person and I want to go into hotel management. And basically Robert Carlyle realizes he's at the end of his rope. And the only thing he wants to do is get revenge after being in prison for 20 years. And so he goes to his son and apologizes and said, I hope you live your dream of going into hotel management, hugs him, and then goes off to kill three people. And I felt better about him doing that, even though he's going to kill three of my favorite characters, than I do about anything that they have given Robert Carlyle in this show. It's so, so bad. It's so bad. I cannot watch them try to make him a good person because they're just making him worse by doing that.
And by shitting on Bill Fire and everything he stood for in the same breath. Like, not only are they trying to find ways to redeem Rumple, but they're turning a character who we all knew and loved because of his stance on his father being the Dark One and his stance on magic and all of that. They're turning it on its head and just crapping all over everything that character stood for. And just because the character is not around as an adult to to respond does not make it okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was my biggest problem. Like, I don't like Rumpel and I hate what they're doing and it, yeah. But the biggest problem I had was turning Bale into someone who would still use the dagger to make his father murder someone. Like, that's not Balefire.
Yeah, and so you want to change the whole course of the show to show, like, oh, I set him free. I made him a good person. I'm the one who set him on the right path. Like, you should be thanking me, because he died not knowing that he was actually a bad person. So victory for Rumpel. And I just didn't feel it. I'm like, no, that's not a good thing that you're doing right now. Karen, are you okay?
No, I'm actually not. I feel like I'm gonna spontaneously combust because it makes me so angry. Look, I love a good villain turned hero story. Regina has done it almost flawlessly. She's my favorite character on the show, and I really appreciate the way that they've handled all of her struggles. And she has struggled. We have seen her kind of toe that line a couple of times and yet ultimately become a hero. What season of the show are we in? Six, right?
Yep.
So six seasons of this show, and Rumpelstiltskin is still a terrible person who continuously chooses power over love, whether that's love of family or romantic love. The idea that the writers can think they can convince us he is actually a good person at heart, because all of a sudden we get this highly convenient and highly contrived storyline of Bay struggling to toe the line, is absolutely outstanding. I can't believe they think that this is going to work. And look, I understand that there are people out there that still love Rumpelstiltskin. I understand that there are people out there who ship Rumbel. I do not agree with that at all, but to each their own, whatever. It's not a big deal. But as objective as I can possibly be, this is poor writing. Just like Kristen said, you're crapping on a legacy of a character whose entire purpose, basically, in this show was to show us that he tried time and time again to get his father to turn good, and time again, Rumpel rejected that. So the idea that he would all of a sudden, as a kid, okay, reject the idea that Rumpelstiltskin could possibly be good and be like, no, you have to kill him. It's our only option at this point. It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous, and I don't believe it. It's poor writing, and it feels like it's out of character. So it makes me so angry that they keep trying to make Rumpel happen, because it's not going to happen. We wrote this in the doc. Like, it's literally not going to happen, for me at least. And the idea that they keep trying, I don't understand why. He's not a good character at this point. He's not even a good villain, because he's so wishy-washy. And the fact that he's trying to be self-sacrificing doesn't make sense to me, because he's not. He's proven that over six seasons. So why do they think all of a sudden we're going to believe it now?
Mm-hmm. And the show itself is going out of its way to make us believe that this is the intention behind the writers. And it probably is. In some twisted way, they think that this is going to work, because I was looking at Twitter during the episode and the official Once Upon a Time account was retweeting people who were just like, watching Rumpel trying to rationalize with his son brings out a new compassion for him. No, it does not. I mean, I get that people like him, and I loved him. I thought he was such a good villain, but what they're trying mm-hmm. to do with his character is just so not right or good for anyone. Like, it's trying to make you sympathize with a person who needs and deserves zero sympathy. And they retweeted a couple of people who were just like loving the father-son moments. And it's just not, I don't know. I'm not into it.
it made my skin crawl. And I know this is just a television show, and I know we're not supposed to be that invested in this, but, like, it literally makes my skin crawl because he's been emotionally abusive to everybody around him for years. And the idea that they're going to somehow wipe that away, that somehow he can come back from everything he's done. And, like, I get that people change, but he's been given so many opportunities. And at this point, to be perfectly honest, he's not even really a villain. Like, our villain this season is not Rumpelstiltskin. He's not trying to, you know, pull the strings in the background to come to his own end. Like, his purpose right now is to help his son, which, fine, whatever. What is his actual purpose on this show? It would be one thing if he was not Mr. Gold, but Rumpelstiltskin, and he was trying to manipulate everyone. Then I could just hate him and know that I'm meant to hate him. Mm-hmm. But no, we're meant to like him, and I still hate him. So something is wrong here.
Agreed. There's just... it's like the writers don't seem to understand the character that they have created. This character is clearly meant to be a pot stirrer. He has had a part in wrecking the lives of basically every character on this show in some way, shape, or form. And then to turn around and be like, oh, but he's so misunderstood, makes absolutely no sense. He either needs to be the shit stirrer, which he is very good at. Like, he was clearly meant to be this really great character actor coming in to chew up the scenery in every villain moment that he had, and he was great at that. That is one way. Those are the types of characters that we really don't see, like, a turn with. Or you have characters who are set up as villains but pretty quickly show that they have the potential to redeem themselves. Regina, Killian, those are the types of characters where it's pretty clear from the jump that there is a measure of goodness in there. We've never seen that with Rumpel, and six seasons in is far too late to start saying, but, you know, there's a little bit. Literally nothing they have shown with this character matches this arc they're trying to give him. So it just makes absolutely no sense, and it's so frustrating as a viewer to have the show trying to tell you to feel one way and feel completely the opposite.
Yeah, and they're using one of their favorite tools, which is flashbacks, to just mess up other stories. Like, this is not just messing up Rumpel's story. It's messing up a lot of stories. Like, we're fine with Neil's story, you know, and now we have this in it. Like, no, why are you trying to make this work? Again, it's like, I know it sounds ridiculous and we've been quoting Mean Girls the whole time, but it's like, stop trying to make it work. It doesn't work. And I'd really like an in-depth conversation with anyone who thinks that it is working, because I'm not seeing it. And I honestly, even if I had a conversation with someone, I don't think I would see it because it's too far gone.
And in a world that is supposed to be populated with fairy tale characters, you cannot turn every villain good. You can't. Mm-hmm. It's not possible. You have to have villains in fairy tales. They exist for a reason. Yes, it took a long time for Regina to find her way into the light, but she's there. And it's been a beautiful arc and a beautiful story, and they've done a good job with it. Hook, his was a little bit easier of a path. Like, he was never truly an evil person, or, you know, like, he was a bad guy, but it never really felt like he was out to do evil. He was a pirate. They're complicated. So, you know, we can see his path into light. Rumpel and being called the Dark One is like a red flag. It's like, let this character be evil. You're doing him a disservice by constantly trying to turn him good. Even giving him, like, a character like Belle, who cares about him and who wants to help him and wants to help him turn, is not a problem if the first, you know, three times that he stabs her in the back, if she learns and stops trusting him. And then we get the villain being the villain. Like, it's the problem comes in that they keep trying to make him a likable character, because this is Once Upon a Time and they're all likable, and that it doesn't have to be that way. He can be the villain. That doesn't mean that we won't like him, because there's a lot of villains in shows that I shouldn't like that I like because they know what they are. They know they're evil and it works for them. Like, it makes the character come alive that they're not trying to be something they're not. This show needs to, like, stop trying to make every character a good guy in the fairy tale and just accept that some bad guys are meant to stay bad guys.
Yeah, they do a good job of introducing new villains all the time, but why can't you work with the villain you have on your payroll? Like, you have a brilliant character actor who is so good at being evil on screen. Oh my God, Robert Carlyle is such a good actor in this role. But it's just not, why are you ruining what you have? It's more frustrating than anything. You know, we can harp on this for days and weeks, and I'm sure this isn't the last you're ever going to hear of us being frustrated with this character, but it's just so annoying. It's annoying, and it's doing a disservice to the actor and to the characters and anyone who has to step up and defend it. I think that it's getting to a point where I don't see how you can talk about his character without pointing out the flaws. And listen, like Kristen was saying, you have 6 seasons of Regina coming like with this beautiful arc of being the villain, but you know early on that she's going to be on this journey. You have Killian, who look what they did with Killian. They utilized the flashbacks to really set his character in contrast with the villain he became. And so you have this back and forth between the good Killian and the Killian who's struggling to be the person that Emma wants him to be and that he deep down believes he wants to be, contrasted with like this flashback of him killing David's father. But then you have like the eviler Captain Hook when we first meet him, like contrasted with the flashbacks of him and Liam on the ship and being honorable and doing this stuff and taking Bay on board and looking after him. Like, there's always these little pockets. And Killian's character is not perfect. There are some huge missteps with him as well, because I know whenever we talk about Rumpel and then we praise Killian, everyone is like up in arms, like, okay, but here's a list of Killian's flaws. Yeah, he has them, but I think that they're doing better work with his character than they are with Rumpel's character. It's not a, oh my gosh, I prefer Killian. This isn't a battle of who I prefer on the show. I think it's bigger than that. It's a bigger problem. And it's not about, I started the show and I like this character and I'm going to follow them to the ends of the earth. No, you can start to hate a character. It's totally fine. It was just not a good episode for the series and not a good turn for anything that is to come with this character.
Something else I would add is when we look at the origins of the villains, you have Regina takes a turn after Daniel is killed by her mother. You have Killian who takes a turn after his brother dies. And then you have Rumpel who becomes the Dark One out of his own weakness. Mm-hmm. And his own cowardice. So I feel like they have really set him up to be just full of moral failings, where it was like outside forces that pushed the characters that they're trying to redeem into being villains. So Rumpel from the beginning has been an inherently weak character, and then suddenly trying to give him this moral high ground that is coming out of nowhere doesn't match what set him up to become the Dark One in the first place. If he had that moral fortitude or whatever, he never would have become the Dark One in the first place.
And you can give a villain a sympathetic backstory and still keep them a villain. We can still have the entire tortured history of him and Bay and mm-hmm. all of that. That can stand on its own. We're not, you know, I love that part of the story. It's really compelling. But like, I'm a huge Smallville fan, and watching Lex Luthor turn from Clark's best friend or really good friend into the villain that we know and love was one of my favorite parts of the show, was seeing how this fairly good person who has a, you know, a decent soul and good heart turns into someone who wants to destroy, people and his best friend, you know, at every turn and in every way possible. It's a compelling narrative. He didn't need to somehow find a way to be good in the end in order for it to be a good story. And that's, at this point, like, Rumpel's Lex Luthor for me. Like, just stop trying. He can't do it. He just can't do it.
Yeah, and, like, he had a pretty horrible upbringing, but that, like you said, you can have a sympathetic backstory. You can have the whole twisted relationship with Neil or Bay, and you can have his father being Peter Pan and abandoning him. You can have his mother being this awful black fairy, and you know, that's fine. It's totally fine to have all of that and have him be the person he is. That's who he is. And I guess in a way he is admitting that when it comes to dealing with Gideon, he's saying like, well, this is who I am, but he's doing it also to prove to Belle that, like, you know, this is changing his character, and the show is doing a lot to show that, like, oh, but really deep down he's doing it because he's good. No, he's not. He's really not. Stop trying to make us believe that, because it's not great. And he's ruining another character whom I actually really like. I don't mind Gideon at all. I think he's okay, because he does have that, like, that glimmer of hope of being saved, but I don't want Rumpel to do it, because then it's going to try and make Rumpel happen, and Rumpel shouldn't happen at all. Gideon should probably kill him, but then Gideon would be dark and we'd be back in this cycle all over again.
Can we somehow make Rumpel look like Emma, and then the final battle in the street is actually Gideon and Rumpel, and Gideon kills Rumpel?
That would
victory.
Be
victory. Crowd's
great.
Cheering. Sorry, terrible, but you know, it's like at this point.
Yeah. I'm also really confused about this sword, because the whole episode they're like, oh, it's nothing. The sword doesn't mean anything. The sword is nothing. It's just a relic. It doesn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, Gideon has the sword, and Rumpel's like, he's now more unstoppable than ever. And I'm like, well, what is the point of saying it was just like a toy prop thing? It went back, that one back and forth. I think he might have been trying to like subdue the threat of Gideon having the sword, but then once he actually had it, it was actually kind of a problem. So, who knows? We had to drag Beowulf into this and then kill him. Another and literary poor, character down the drain.
And the poor blue fairy who's,
yeah, you know, who's now
comatose.
Yeah, they really should start doing random checks of Gold Shop to see who is comatose in there, because there's been a lot of people who have been laid up in that shop without anyone ever noting.
Weekly wellness checks.
On yeah.
That can be instituted when Henry takes over.
Yes. Oh, God. Where is Henry?
Yeah, where is poor Henry? Is he hanging out with whichever Charming is awake this week?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what he's doing. Oh, well, he has his girlfriend. So. All right. Well, while we're in a little bit of levity, I just wanted to get to some listener feedback, which came from Kate Krill, who is our number one Twitter responder. And she posed the suggestion that, is it possible that when August was sitting around, he was actually writing about Pleasure Island and manipulated the book pages that he gave to Hook? While I think that's interesting, I also don't think that you could have given Hook a memory.
Yeah, I kind of thought about this last week when Karen was giving us her spiel about August being shady, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to believe it. I was still kind of like, wait, is it possible? And I started to think about him like sitting there, you know, with the pages. That's, we came across him typing. And I was like, what could he have been doing? Like, was he manipulating something? But it comes down to that Hook had the memory. It mm-hmm. wasn't like he saw the pages and it was sitting in front of him and that triggered a memory. He just saw the face of this guy in the story we were just told, you know, without influence. And then he has this memory all on his own. So I don't think it was manipulating, but I did have some doubts too. And if August is that good boy, then, you know,
yeah,
we're in also, trouble. Like,
Henry's the only one sitting on the power to write anything of substance at this point, which we may never see again, but
I think y'all are just too suspicious of that handsome man.
I know. I don't want to be, but everyone keeps trying to put bad thoughts in my head.
So, I mean, I love August. I love
Nobody should be that handsome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's tough because I want to believe that August has everybody's good intentions at heart, but it's once upon a time they could ruin this character for us as well. So next week is season 6, episode 14, page 23. And if you recall, page 23 was, I think, if I'm remembering this correctly, I tried to look it up, but it's the page that Regina gets where it shows her with Robin in the Enchanted Forest. It's that like alternate version, and like, did it come from an alternate reality? Like, where did that page show up? That's the page that like kind of showed up in the backpack, I think it was. This episode, we know from the trailer, is all about Regina versus the Evil Queen, and like, what does that page mean? Does it mean anything? And I'm hoping we get the resolution of that page, because they did lay the groundwork of it earlier on in the series, so they're bringing something back that might be useful. Any thoughts on next week? Anyone gonna die? Are we gonna get rid of the Evil Queen for good? Is Regina going to accept and embrace her like I hope she does?
I'm totally into their sword fight.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I just expect to be very uncomfortable with everything having to do with fake Robin.
And we probably still won't see Henry. Just mark that down. It's another Henry-less episode.
He'll just leave his mom a voicemail. Be careful.
Yeah, don't kill yourself. Oh, wait. Ha-ha.
I'm canoeing again.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll see what happens next week when we return to discuss page 23. And if you would like to argue against us on any of these wonderful points, especially, you know, the way Emma stole Hook's thunder, we're all for it if you think that she didn't. So clearly that's the most controversial opinion that we have in this episode. So please hit us up and reply to that at Onceable, or you can comment on this post on Hypeable.com. And listen, she stole his thunder, and that's all I have to say about that. Mm-hmm. So until next week, I'm Brittany.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.